Team Rio, who is there like you? Isn't that a powerful question as we stand in the presence of our God? And that is a question that people are asking everywhere. People are asking about hope. Is there any hope for me? Is there help? And we have one to whom we can take them. And in just a moment, I want to pick that theme back up. It was early in the life of the body of Christ, the church, that the people of God began to realize that the work required more hands, that there were more men needed to come alongside the apostles to serve and minister to the people. And so out of that need and out of the awareness of needs that were being unmet, the body of Christ came together. The apostles did, and they prayed about this, and God gave them a word. And that word was for them to choose from among them seven men at that particular time and appoint them to this matter. And as the body of Christ has continued to grow and expand, and more churches are born and birthed into the kingdom, and people groups gather and they minister to their communities, the more the church has grown, the more the need has been for men to rise up and give leadership as servants, to be an example of the hands and the feet of Jesus, to be an example and a presence for the heart and the mind of our Savior. And that is the focus of our celebration this morning for what God is doing in our fellowship. We are here to celebrate, and we are here to set apart four more men to the work of the deacon ministry. The deacons do not run the show. They serve the people. And I am so privileged, I am so humbled, that our deacons have a servant's heart. These guys, you have to be careful. They're precious wives. You've got to be careful, because if they pick up on a need, they're going to move forward. They're going to take action. And it is such a joy of mine to be a part of a fellowship, a ministry team that has expanded and extended itself to so many men and women. And I'm honored this morning to ask you to enter a formal business session for the hearing of a recommendation from our examination council concerning these four men. Is there a motion that we enter business session? Is there a second? Okay. Any questions? There's only one item on the agenda. It is to hear the report and respond appropriately from our examination council. So Bill John, it was our secretary. He took notes, and he's going to come and share with you a bit and then present a recommendation. Bill.
Good morning. Oh, I'm thrilled to be a part of this celebration, and this really is a celebration. So we had our examination council this last Monday, and Steve Linhaus was chosen to moderate, and I was chosen to take notes, to be the secretary, which is kind of funny. I was sitting next to Mel Smith, and he looked at my notes and said, "I didn't know you know shorthand." I said, "Well, I don't. They're just written that badly." But but I can kind of know what I said, so I have a few notes.
So you're saying that you're not only the secretary, but you are also the interpreter.
I am the interpreter of the notes.
Interpretation
of this
meeting.
Yes,
required.
Yes, exactly. So before I get to the recommendation, and I won't take long, I just wanted to mention, as LaRue did, that I hope all deacons, but you guys, and I can tell in your faces, you know, We're part of a body of believers that have been set apart over 2,000 years ago, continuously. That's a big group. And what an honor that is. But it's not honorary, as we all know. It's a servant's working job. So we had a time of fellowship, and I want to give you a little idea of what it's like. It is serious, but it's not somber and it's not solemn. Whenever you get deacons together, there's going to be a lot of joy, a lot of laughter, and a lot of love, because that's just who our God is. So Steve led them through some questions. First was to share the salvation experience of each one, and each did. And then how has your life changed since you met Christ? And partly why I'm telling you this is because I want every believer in the room to be asking themselves these same questions, because it's the same questions. Describe the authority of Scripture. What ministries are you involved in? What does a deacon do? Now, what does a believer do would be what I would ask you all. What authority does a deacon have? And I think LaRue's touched on that. Absolutely none. We are slaves, literally, of Christ. And yet, 100%, because we are ambassadors for Christ to the world. And the final biggest question, do you feel that you have been called by God to be a deacon? There's no greater honor, LaRue mentioned, no greater honor and privilege and no more humbling experience that I've experienced than that. So, enough talk. It was a unanimous vote, and the Examination Council of First Baptist Church Deacons recommends that these four men, Frankie Bermudez, Russ Cook, Jeremy Reynolds, and Richard Strebeck, all be approved by the church as deacons to serve our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Thank you.
Body, you've heard the recommendation from the Examination Council. What is your desire? Recommendations do not require a second, but discussion is in order. Are there any questions? Seeing none, then all in favor of proceeding with the ordination, the setting apart of these four men for the deacon ministry of our church, would you acknowledge your vote by saying amen?
Amen.
Any opposed? Oh me? Okay. Nobody said oh me. All right. Is there a motion that we adjourn the business session? Second? Any questions? All in favor of adjourning this business session and proceeding with the ordination of these four men to the deacon ministry, would you say aye?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. No opposition. All right. It is my privilege to present a charge to these men. Before I do, I want to just let you see their face and probably the second most precious asset in their life, and that is their wife. These ladies are already serving. I won't take the time to share how each of these ladies and guys are involved in ministry here, but I do want to just personally introduce them to you. Jeremy and Lynn, would you stand up? Jeremy and Lynn Reynolds, and turn around and face the congregation. Just let them see you. Kim and Richard Strebeck. Frankie and Judy Bermudez. Russ and Andrea Cook. These are the ones that have already engaged in ministry here. And I want you to just simply affirm them with a strong thank you and praise God. Can we do, now that's two things, okay? Okay? So together, let's say thank you and praise God, okay? Thank you and praise God. Amen? Yes. Thank you, Gabe. You may be seated. Be seated. Yes. And so, for my part, and And I think a question for every one of us to ponder. I take you to the Gospel of John. John's Gospel, the 12th chapter, there's a question, sort of a statement, but I want to make it a question. The statement is, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Now this question, or this request, comes from some Greeks. If you look at the 12th chapter of John, look down at verse 20. You have your Bible open there. I'll give you a moment to get it booted up. If you have a device, I want you to highlight these verses. In verse 20, "Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast." In verse 21, "Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, 'Sir, we wish to see Jesus.'" I want you to ponder with me just that request. Sir, we wish to see Jesus. And I want to begin with a question that each one of us need to ask. And that question is, will people seek you out to see Jesus? Ponder that. Will people seek you out to see Jesus? It is interesting to me that Philip, one of the disciples, here he is. He is tending his business, or I might say tending to the Lord's business. He's among the group, but here is a group of individuals, and obviously they are from another area. They came to participate in this worship experience, and they were asking around about Jesus. We want to see Jesus. Where is Jesus? Who? And perhaps someone with whom they had spoken said to them, "I don't know, but I know someone who does know where he would be found." And they took them to Philip. Or maybe it was Philip sharing with other people the things that Jesus had taught them. Maybe it was Philip that was living a life that was so obvious, reflecting his relationship with Christ. And the Greeks, they just had a hunch that this guy, he's talking Jesus. He's sharing Jesus. He's reflecting. Maybe he is one of the disciples. Let's ask him. At least maybe he would know where we could find Jesus. And they approach Philip. And Philip is a sort of an image, one that will always remind us of a simple question. Sir, would others seek you out to see Jesus? That is a question for all of us. And so to our guys that are being set apart today, guys, I just want to challenge you to live your life in such a manner that people at work, the ball fields, around the church house, who visit your home, who are struggling with issues in their life, or maybe there's a crisis that has just surfaced in their life, so live your life that they would know that you're one they could ask about Jesus. Now that's a challenge. It's a challenge from the Word of God. But all of you know me, most of you know me, and I don't stop with just one thing, do I? No, but I don't want to belabor the point, but I want to ponder that statement, that request. Sir, we wish to see Jesus. And I want to ask you to consider with me, sir. Just that word, sir. These Greeks were trying to get Philip's attention because there was something in their heart that they longed to see, to experience. There was a desire in their heart. And this first thing, people are seeking Jesus. Now, some people are seeking Jesus and they don't even realize it. They don't have a clue where to look or exactly what it is they're seeking, but they're seeking. There's this emptiness within. There's a hollow hole inside their being, and their spirit is sensing an emptiness. There is an absence. And so they're seeking something to fill that void, and people go to some of the craziest things to fill that void. Young people and elderly people will turn to all sorts of stuff to fill that hole. Some turn to alcohol and drugs. Some turn to sex. Some turn to work. Some turn to food. Some people seek out all sorts of stuff. There's a hunger. There's something missing, an emptiness within. And I would submit to you that people are seeking Jesus and they don't even realize it. Now, some people do know that, man, I need God. Because they've already been seeking, and their journey has taken them on a route that has brought disaster to their life and heartbreak, and they are tired of doing things and ending up being the victim, not the victor. And they know that the only thing, the only one, the only place they have not sought was God. And now they are looking for a safe person, a safe place to pop that question, to present that question, to put it on the tabletop and say, I need God. They need to know to whom they can go. Sir, just says to me that people really are seeking Jesus. But then the next statement, sir, we wish. Yep, people are seeking Jesus. And then you have the opportunity to take people to Jesus. Look at that statement. It says, sir, we wish to see Jesus. We wish to see. You have opportunity to take people to Jesus. People are all around us, and they're hurting, and they need to know where they can find peace and help. And I'm asking you, every one of us, are you a person that other people would turn to for guidance to Jesus? You have an opportunity. Wherever you go every day, you will run into people who are seeking Jesus. Some of them know it, some don't. But every day you have that opportunity. So guys and gals, I challenge you. Take people to Jesus. You know, one of the common mistakes we make as believers is that we think if we can just get them to join the church, all will be well. Did you know people can join the church and still be as empty as a corn cob that's been lying in the field all summer long? And the bugs have eaten the hollow, the inside of that cob out, and the solitary wasp have already inhabited that cob, and they're filling it with their eggs and killing some spiders and taking and feeding. So the larvae, when the egg hatches, the larvae will have food. And some people are just as empty as a corn cob, and some have filled those holes with bugs and worms, and they feel the pain and emptiness. That was graphic, wasn't it? Are you with me? And when that whole process is over, there's just going to be a little empty hole with dirt and waste in it. And that's not what God desires in the life of his people. He created you special. He wants you to embrace him. So, guys, I charge you to live a life that will take people to Jesus. And then I close with a question, a simple question. Will you take people to Jesus? Will you? Well, that's my charge. And as we continue at this point, we're going to, in a demonstration of unity and oneness, we're going to ask our men to come down front right here and just kneel. And those of you who participated in the examination council, we're going to ask you to come down and lay your hands on them, and we're going to pray over them. And we're going to ask God to take full charge of their lives, their families, and continue his work in them, and to expand the impact of the kingdom through these men. So guys, if you would come and just kneel. Men, would you come forward? Those of you who have participated in the examination council, and if you have friends here who are ordained, these are ordained men, you may come and join, participate. Billy Skelly is going to voice our ordination prayer this morning. Billy is our second vice chairman of our deacons. Billy, come on up to the pulpit, please. Okay. Friends, we ask you to pray where you are for these guys and for the anointing of the Lord on them and for the filling of their hearts and minds with the knowledge of God and for the work of the Holy Spirit through their lives and their families to the people of this church, of our community and world as representatives of Jesus. Let's pray together. Billy.
Almighty God, Master of all things, we thank the Holy Spirit for selecting these four men to take a servant's role in your church. We pray that your Spirit sustain them along with their families in their mission to serve in your church and to spread the good news of salvation, Almighty God. Since prayers are most powerful, we should pray, oh God, for them to increase in wisdom, guidance, patience, compassion, and love. May you help them make a difference in the life of the church and the life of the community. And we ask all of this in the holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Thank you, men. Steve Linhaus is the chair of our deacon ministry team. And so we're going to ask Steve to come and present a charge to the body of Christ, to the church. And we will hear Steve, and then afterwards we will have our time of invitation where we invite all of us to embrace Jesus this morning and to affirm what he's doing in our lives with one another. So you prayerfully listen as Steve shares.
Thank you, LaRue. These men have been set apart today to the deacon ministry. You've heard the sermon. You've heard Bill describe what has come before. You have nominated these men. These men have been chosen from our congregation. And some of the things that the deacons do, you as a congregation don't see. Some are very obvious. The Lord's Supper, you'll see us passing the plates. You don't see the guys cleaning up wet towels after baptism. You don't see the guys. You may see the guys on Saturday morning down here with weed eaters cleaning up the grounds. You don't get the text message at 10 a.m. on Saturday saying someone in the church needs to move furniture and they're not able. We need six guys with pickup trucks. You don't know about that. Some of the stuff that they do, we do, that you don't know even happens. So why have these men been set apart? Why have the 21 active deacons and the countless deacons in waiting, if you will, been set apart to this ministry? What makes them different? Well, they have found to be followers of Jesus Christ. They have been seen by you to be followers of Jesus Christ. And you, someone in this congregation said, Russ is a follower. He should be a deacon, a lay leader. Frankie is a follower. He should be a deacon. Richard is a follower. Jeremy is a follower of Jesus Christ. You saw this in them. So what do we see in you? What does it mean to be a follower? What does it mean to be a follower of Christ? Well, if you're a Christian, you are a follower of Christ. If you're an obedient Christian, you are a follower of Christ. So who do you follow? Who do you follow? Well, I follow the saints and Jesus. Well, so I read about the saints in the paper. I'll go to the game if you buy me a ticket and give me a ride. I'm happy when they win. I celebrate when they win. And I follow Jesus. I read about him in my Sunday school book. I come to church if it's not raining. And I celebrate when somebody gets saved. May I suggest that that is not really what Jesus had in mind when he said, follow me? Follow me? May I suggest that if that's your idea of following, you might just be an observer? These men are not observers. These men are followers. So what is your responsibility? As a member of this congregation, what is your responsibility? Your charge in this matter. What is your charge? To be a follower. I got a couple of verses here. Matthew 4:18 said, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They left their nets. They left their lives behind, and they followed. Matthew 9:9, as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, follow me. And Matthew, the tax collector with a pot full of money, arose, left his job, left his booth, left his money, and followed Jesus. Jesus became the most important thing in these men's lives, in these men's lives. So, ask yourself this question. Am I a follower or am I merely an observer? So, how can I be a follower? What does that actually mean? I follow the saints, but I don't actually get in the game. I don't follow that closely. This is a game you can get into, my friends. It's no game. But as deacons, we need your participation. Let's do some, Jesus, in Matthew 16:24, Jesus explained. Now you may be asking yourself this question, what does it mean to follow Jesus? What does that really mean? What does that look like? Jesus said this, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Let's look at that closely. Let him deny himself. Do you deny yourself? Do I deny myself? I'm asking myself these same questions. So I'm not pointing that finger at you. It's, do I deny myself? Do I deny, say no to myself? Here's a question, rhetorical. Please don't answer. When's the last time you said no to yourself so that you could say yes to Jesus, yes to his ministries in this church? We are the kingdom until he comes back. We are his kingdom until he comes back. We are his hands and feet. So when is the last time you said, gee, I'd love to have this brand new shiny thing, whatever your shiny thing might be. We've all got our shiny things, right? I want one. But I'm going to take that $50 instead, and I'm going to give it to John Jones so that one of these young people over here can go to youth camp next summer and their life can be changed. But no, I want my shiny thing. Deny yourself. Take up your cross, Jesus told these people. Now, the cross, to the people that he was speaking to at this point, the cross, if you look around this church, you'll see crosses everywhere. Look right there on that wall. Look at the windows. If you notice it, every window is made like this. Look at the, when you go out here, look up that big window up there. The braces that hold that window together are shaped just like this. Crosses are everywhere. Cross is a thing of beauty. For us, it is a thing of beauty because we can look at it and we can see the atoning work of Christ and his blood shed on that cross to pay for my sins. I can see that. In this context, Jesus is saying to these people, take up your cross. There was no beauty in a cross because he had not yet died for my sins. It was a horrible, ugly, brutal, vicious thing created by the Romans as an instrument of torture and death. So, when he said, take up your cross, what did he mean? What did he mean? That's your life, right? Be ready to give your life. That's easy to say. Oh, I'd give my life for Jesus if somebody came in and said, all you believers come this way, you're going to die. I'd be right in that herd. I'd stand up for Jesus. What about this? What about the life you have left in this unit, as I call it? What about the life you have left in your body until your last breath or until Christ comes back? Are you willing to give that? Deny yourself, say no to yourself, take up your cross, die to yourself. It is not I who live, but Christ in me. Die to yourself, and here it comes, follow me. That's what follow me means. So, these guys have decided, I'll follow him. What's your responsibility? What is your responsibility? Humble service. Join us, please. Listen, let's do some quick math here. There are about 400 people in this room, I'm told, by the people who count heads. Yeah, they do that. There are about 400 people in this room. If each person in this room gave 1 hour of their time a week to the ministries of this church, let's see, that's 40 hours times 10, right? 400 people, 1 hour, 40 hours times 10 would be 400 hours. It would be like having 10 full-time servants, people to serve, ministers around this church. We could paint this place in a week. So, what is your responsibility? What is your charge, church? What is your responsibility? It's your responsibility to come alongside these men and the 17 others who are active on the deacon body, in the deacon body, and the ones who are not active in the deacon body, and come alongside the ministers and the lay leaders in this church and to follow Christ. That's what we're trying to do. We need your help to get it done. Now, unless and until we cease being observers and become followers, we're not going to have a whole lot of impact in the community of Long Beach, Mississippi. But can you imagine what would happen if we all got in the game? So, my charge to you, there's a quote I have to share with you. R.G. Lee, great pastor, said, and this was in probably 1954, somewhere around there, he said to his church, "I see people with steam shovel ability." Most of you don't know what a steam shovel is, but "I see people with excavator ability doing teaspoon work for God." That was R.G. Lee in the great Bellevue Baptist Church, then one of the icons of the Southern Baptist Convention 50 years ago. So my charge to you, my plea to you, there's a blessing in it for you, believe me. My plea to you is, don't be an observer. Be a follower.
So, church, how will you respond? Will you commit your life today to engaging in the work of our God? One body, one mission, one message, one Savior, one focus. Are you ready to connect? Are you ready today? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to make a commitment of faith to you. I pray, Lord, for those who are contemplating their relationship with you and what to do. I ask you, Father, to give them courage, give to them clarity, give to them conviction, that they might stand with you today, and that together as one body we can charge this community and world with the gospel and take the gospel to them. And Lord, we pray that souls would be saved and that men and women would find their heart fulfilled in you, and that Jesus might reign in their lives because of the commitments that are made this morning to you. So, Father, give to us courage, give to us clarity, give to us conviction to take our stands with you today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to come. And one way that you can come is to make your profession of faith in Jesus Christ. I just ask you to come and share with one of us ministers that you're ready to take your stand with Jesus. You may be here this morning and you're a believer and you've been praying for God's direction as to where He wants you to plant yourself for ministry and kingdom work. And this is that place. Come and share with us that you're ready to plug in and be a part of this ministry and fellowship and mission for Christ. Maybe you are engaged. You are a believer. You are engaged. And you're saying, "Pastor, I want to be a part of blessing children with the Word of God through Beach Club. And I'm going to come and take one of these names so I can prepare a letter and return it to be put in the Bible that they're going to receive." What would God have you do? I ask you to come now. Come and let's make our commitments. Let's take our stand.
Sing with us now. Take my life. Let it